Pig Podcast.
Awesome, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
You know what? I miss you. I'm so glad that we get to do this because, you know what? Sometimes you just get so wrapped up in doing business sometimes.
Yes.
You got to spend some time with your friends.
Yeah.
You know? Cool. So how's June looking? June 2019 for Tobias.
June is good. Yeah. I think it's been good, except for the weather. I don't know why it's still, I don't know why it's still winter in Canada, but first year, our house, we have a pool.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, why do we have a pool? It just remains covered all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, totally. It's so you can jump in and wake yourself up in the morning because it's only like 60.
Yeah, you know? It's so I can look at it. It looks pretty.
Totally. Right on, man. Well, you know what? Me and Tobias, sometimes we wonder what we're going to talk about, and then we just start talking about the stuff that we need to talk about.
Yes.
And today, we're talking a lot about bookkeeping and accounting and kind of like where to spend your money, what to do, and how to sort of graduate through your numbers when you have one property or 10 or 20 mm-hmm. or 30, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So how did you start out doing your bookkeeping and doing stuff like that?
I know that when I started my first house, I was sole operator, did everything, kept track of
Chief
everything.
Chief cook and bottle
Chief
washer,
cook
right?
And bottle washer, yeah.
Yeah.
CEO and janitor.
Yep. I know, me too. Yeah, totally.
Keeping track of all the bills, doing all the invoicing, making all the payments, you know, in charge of everything, controlling everything. The only thing that I did outsource from the start was end of year, dropped everything off to the accountant.
Right. So you basically put everything into the Excel spreadsheet kind of thing.
Totally.
Added up the shoebox full of receipts. And just kind of like, well, now it's all paperless, right? Eh, maybe not. But you end up
mine's
like,
all paper still.
I know.
Because that's how I started.
I know, me too. Well, I used to do that too. I remember my wife, she would end up calling me Scrooge at Christmas time because I'd be sitting there like all the receipts. She'd be like,
manual
come
calculator.
Have dinner. Yeah, totally. Adding it all up. And it was like, it's good practice, right? Because you can't bullshit yourself and you know what your real expenses are and you know if you're really making money or not.
Yeah.
So it's a really good exercise for, I would say, the beginning investor to do themselves.
And I think it's also good because then you become knowledgeable on what you're doing and how you're doing it. So when you pass it off, if you pass it off, but when you pass it off, when you get bigger, you know what they're looking for. And then also, you know that they're either doing a good job.
Yeah.
Or if they're asking you for things that you've been missing all this time, you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. And then you can see value in that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think too, like my account once told me there's two sets of books. I hope Revenue Canada is not watching this right now, right? But when you think about it though, when I would sit down and do my spreadsheet, right? Mm-hmm. You take your revenue, you know, just for a simple property, you know, you're making for simple math, $1,000 a month. Mortgage payment, taxes, insurance, heat, hydro, and all that stuff. And then you're left with hopefully money at the end of the day, right? The cool thing about when you do it yourself is that you're looking at principal and interest.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Sometimes.
Yeah.
But then when you actually do your books, they're just deducting interest.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Like it's a little tiny thing, but it's good to just sort of little distinctions like that is good for you to see as to how much money you're really making. Because me and Tobias always say it's about how much you keep,
yeah,
not how much you gross,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
So when did you?
Not what you make, it's what you keep.
Damn right,
yeah,
totally.
That's a good one.
So now you're looking to outsource that now, right?
Yes, yeah.
How's that going?
This is my first year outsourcing it between you know the business and then the new property maintenance and management business and all the rentals. As we've accumulated rentals over the years, it just became a lot to do. So I had a little bit of help organizing things in the past, just like family. But now I decided to jump into it full on bookkeeper and get everything going. And it's a lot more organized. They are much more organized
than you?
More organized than my stuff was, that's for sure.
You know what?
Every penny is accounted for. They really are like Scrooge.
Yeah, well, they should be, right?
Yeah,
they
got a job.
I remember when I first did that, because I did that not too long ago as well. Mm-hmm. I was really scared about it. I don't know if you felt that as well, too.
Totally.
Because I felt like giving up, like, just because of my dad and how he taught me about, like, my dad would always, like, he'd be there with graph paper, you know, back in the day with his pencil, and he used to do the T1 generals by himself with like pencils.
Oh my God.
Anyways, but like he really instilled in me, like you know you watch your money, you manage your money, right?
Yeah.
And to give that up, I was terrified. I don't know, did you feel that at all?
Yeah, totally. It's like, well, now I don't know if I make money or not,
right?
Like, because I'm not watching it all the time, being in it, but you do. You get reports.
Yeah.
You learn to read the reports. They're even better than what you've ever produced.
True.
And they can tell you, you know, like you said, the two books, you know, one that, you know, is everything and one that's what you're actually making.
Yep.
They tell you exactly what you're making.
Yeah.
For a penny.
And I think it's good because think as you grow, you know, when you have one property, it's just like we talked about with property management, you manage your own shit to start, right? But then as you grow, you hire, you know, someone like you or other people to take care of it, right? But same with your bookkeeping. And I find that as you grow, like for us now, we get reports every month. Now those reports for not only our mortgage business, but for rental properties, lending, everything, those reports now are basically like the barometer for how the business is doing, right?
Yeah.
And my time is way better spent understanding, reading, analyzing those reports as opposed to, you know, plugging in the numbers, right?
Yes.
And it was kind of empowering to do that because now you can adjust the levers on your business, on your property management business as to what's working, what's not, where should I spend money?
Yeah. And then for like a single homeowner or first time investor, now everything is sort of on time and ready to go.
Yeah,
like there's no penalties.
Oh,
like there's never a notice of reassessment.
You gotta say that. Why do you gotta say that? No, it's true though. I hate to say it, I've been guilty of before. I had people in place to help me with that. It's fucking expensive to have these penalties, right?
Yeah, and it's like a lot of money.
Yeah, like, you know, you have
interest daily.
Yes. And like, you know what? You think Money Mart's expensive? Okay, like Revenue Canada is expensive, okay? Money Mart's a deal compared to CRA. But you're right. Like, I remember having, like, I missed an installment payment for like $4,000. Didn't think it was important. And then all the interest started to add up. And then I ended up having almost $1,200 in penalties.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And you're like, you know, but so what do you pay for that type of service? Like, you know, for people thinking, okay, you know what, I maybe have 3-4 properties, I'm thinking about hiring a bookkeeper. Like, what would you recommend?
Well, if you only have a couple of properties and you have a regular job, management provides you with some statements for accounting, so that's helpful.
Yeah,
but if you're going full bookkeeper system, you can pay anywhere between 20 and $100 an hour.
Yep.
People say typical good bookkeeper is usually around $50 an hour. Right
now. I think so.
And I say get a referral.
Yeah.
Have somebody tell you who the right person is to use.
Yeah, no, I agree. We say that for mortgage brokers, realtor, for everybody. Deal. You know what? Build up that network, right? Build the fence around trusted partners, right?
Yeah.
Because
keep it in the family.
Yeah, it's true, right?
Yeah.
But no, I think $50, $40, $60, you know.
Somewhere in there. But that doesn't dictate if they're good. You always want to get a referral from a trusted source.
It's very true.
Yeah.
You know what?
A lot of realtors charge 5% just like us, but sometimes they're not as good.
Sometimes. And that goes same with your accounting as well too, right? Like you want to make sure you're paying for a good accountant as well too. I always end up when I refer my accountant, yours, you end up saying like, listen, he's not the cheapest, but he's the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You don't want to skip out on that kind of stuff.
Fair. Yeah. Same with contractor too.
Now we're talking about accounting and stuff like that. Let's talk about just because you've had a situation, so have I, on flips. People flipping houses right now, it kind of ties into accounting. What are you seeing right now, especially when it comes down to tax?
Flips, the government has said they're eyeballing that. So you want to make sure you're the right kind of flip going on there and in the right income stream that way, whether it's capital gains or business income, that sort of thing. And I think we're seeing, you know, CRA really track that heavily.
Yep.
And so for me, we didn't necessarily have a flip. I had a house that was a rental that I ended up selling. This is years and years ago before I was in real estate and a house hoarder. and I put the house up for sale and we made money selling it, which was great. But I was uneducated on disposition of property and tax planning for that sort of thing. And I sold the house. And then took all the profit.
I had all this money.
I took all the profit. I sold this house. I'm like, amazing. I made $40,000 selling this house, you know, over the, you know, 2 years that I owned it. And I took that $40,000 and bought another house. And then at the end of the next year, my accountant says, oh, you owe $9,000 to CRA and capital gains. I'm like, what's capital gains?
What's
capital gains?
Yeah.
And I have even better news. CRA doesn't wait to get paid. Yeah. So they call you and they say, hey, you owe us money. And I say, well, I make like $15 an hour. So I don't have $9,000. Where'd the money go? I bought another house. It's gone. So I was on a payment plan. And I was on a payment plan.
And probably some interest on top of that as well, too.
Tons of interest. I imagine. I think it's 12% monthly compounded daily.
I thought it was like 100.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's the compound effect. Yes. Compounded daily.
Yes, it's true.
So I was on like a $50 biweekly payment. Every time I got paid, I had to give them 50 or 100 bucks, something like that. And then I started to work on that over the course of like 1 or 2 years. And then I got into real estate and then I had no money. So I was like taking money from my credit card to pay that $75. And then I finally sold my first house. I got my first paycheck. It was like, I don't know, $2,000 or something like that for selling my first house. And I go, I put it in the bank account and I'm like, oh, finally, I can like pay the mortgage. And then the mortgage company calls me and says, you've defaulted on payment. We're going to try again in a week. I'm like, what? No, Jesus, I just put the money in there. And I check my online banking and it says CRA removal. And CRA literally took the money. I called the bank. The bank says, well, you must have owed them. And I'm like, no, we had an agreement. And then I call CRA and I say, CRA, we had an understanding. I was paying you weekly. I need that money to pay my mortgage. And they said, too bad.
Yeah. So
you had it.
We important took it. Important tax planning is very, you know, strategic to do, right? Yes. So I think, you know what, like, because we had our client recently as well, too, yes, where they were flipping homes. You got to pay capital gains and you got to budget for it, right? A lot of times you're not budgeting for that and you need to make sure, reach out to your accountant, your bookkeeper. Whenever I'm buying or selling real estate, one of my first emails is just to verify what my tax implications are with my accountant. Because even though I think I know what they are, I want to know what they are for sure, because that could be your profit. Like if you're losing 20, 25, 40, depending on how your tax strategy is set up on your profit.
Yeah.
That sucks. That could be a reason not to do something or not to sell something. And our one client didn't have the best advice, unfortunately, and he sold 3 properties in 1 year.
Ooh.
So, yeah, made lots of money.
Should have adjusted those closing dates.
Right. Like lots of money. But unfortunately, what happens, that generated almost a $200,000 tax bill, right? So with a little bit of planning from an accountant, mortgage broker, someone else, you could spread out that, right? So if you are selling properties, make sure you do it strategically, because you know what? The market is one thing. I agree. You know, everybody wants to time the market when it's hot. But listen, if you sell 3 properties in a hot market and you get nailed with 30 or 40% of your profit on capital gains, who gives a shit if it was a hot market? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I would have sold one in a down market. And kept 40% of my profit, right? So, and I know Tobias does this with his clients is, you know what? Good tax planning. If you're selling properties, I think selling properties is great. If you're paying off your primary residence to reborrow, do it strategically, one a year. If you're gonna do 2, make sure you know what it is, because that capital gain income will go on top of your employment income as well too.
Yeah.
So just keep that stuff into consideration. Keep the money that you work so hard to get.
Yeah.
Don't give it away to CRA. They got tons. Okay.
And if you're doing, I think if you're doing flips to that degree, mm-hmm. I think that's when it starts to make sense to revisit our previous podcast on corp or no corp.
Yeah, totally agree.
And I think that's one of the
one
of the good tax planning strategies. So talk to your accountant.
Yeah. You still have tax in a corp, right?
Yeah.
But like you're saying, and we talked about before, you can mitigate that expense, but make sure, again, good planning. Don't go in, you know, don't do what I did back in the day and be like, ooh, shiny ball, I'm just gonna make this happen, right? Ooh, shit, shiny bill. Right? So you wanna make sure that you have that strategy up front, because you'll keep more of that money. So, what do you think?
I think that's pretty good.
All right. Yeah. I think that's good.
Covers most things. What about you? How's your bookkeeping situation gone?
You know what? I sometimes I go forward and regress back, okay? And I try to take it as a reminder, because I had a great girl that was helping me out. She went off on maternity leave. I said, I can take care of this. Well, I can't.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I make sure that, you know what, I have the right people on board doing the things, because sometimes I think I can do more than I can.
Yes. You know, that makes me think of something important, like bookkeeping. You know, it feels really good to have it, we'll say, in-house.
Yeah.
Then you're in charge of it. You know what's going on and probably mitigate costs a little bit on it.
Yep.
Not tons. There's still costs to it. Somebody's got to do it.
Yep.
But then if something happens and it's not outsourced, like say it's outsourced to a company, you know, somebody leaves that company, your stuff doesn't go by the wayside. They are responsible for that. So that's
very true.
And I think that's a value add there too.
Yeah. I think when you think of everything, and even your bookkeeping, your rental property, as a business and as a system,
yeah,
right? Where can that system go wrong? Where can that system break down? You're right. In mine, I didn't have a strong system, because when it's dependent upon one thing,
yes,
it's not a strong system.
Yep.
You know what? McDonald's is a strong system, right? If that 15-year-old kid making your burger doesn't show up for work, there's another one in line that will. You know what I mean? There is, like, that is a strong system that it's hard to break.
You're
getting your burger and fries, healthy salads and gourmet coffee. Right? So whatever it is. But
I was like, laser, my eye.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for listening. If you guys have any questions, please reach out to Tobias and I. Our number one goal is to educate people and help them grow just copious amounts of wealth. Okay?
Through real estate.
You got it.
Yeah. And like we always say, the deal century comes by every day.
You got it. All right. Thanks, guys. Make it this fabulous day.